Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I'm your host, Jay Fowle. I'll have Tyler Hayward on momentarily. We'll talk about the Michigan State 40-31 victory. We'll talk about the Michigan drumming of Rutgers 52-0. Obviously, Rutgers has plenty of problems, so we're not going to get overly excited about the Michigan win. But look, they played well. It's nice to see them actually perform well. And they performed well against a very bad team. So at this point, look, next week it will show us a lot. We'll find out how good Michigan is. Look, I don't even know if we'll find out how good Michigan is until they can prove consistently that they can win week by week and get better and also win a big game on the road. So I don't think even next week we should really put any hype into a Michigan win. And hype's the perfect word for that program because they just haven't done enough for me to get excited. I got Tyler with me now. Tyler, you made the trip to the homecoming game, and obviously a whole lot of excitement, I'm sure, was there. Talk about a couple things, because there were some things that took place at the game, and let's talk about that before we really get into the hard recap of the game. So it was a pretty exciting time in East Lansing, though, for homecoming.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sure, most of the festivities ended up getting rained out, but you know, leading up to the game, seeing one of my all-time favorites, Spartans, even though I was three when he was in East Lansing, you know, Lorenzo White get his number up in the Ring of Honor, the Ring of Fame, or whatever you want to call it, Michigan State. You know, I think just that in and of itself was an incredible experience, but. I mean, all things considered, kind of like what you said with Michigan, I know we're not going to talk too much on it because Rutgers is what Rutgers is, but having the schedule that both teams have, you know, next week is going to tell us a lot about both programs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Me and Tyler were joking, obviously, before the show, we with our little ones, obviously, I haven't put this on our show yet, but Tyler, again, congratulations on being a father. You now get to join my crazy world as I have my 2.5-year-old Jordan. Jordan's in this is a thing you could hear for Spartan fans. So I got my Michigan State game on. I'm geared up. And my son Jordan is clapping during the game as the Spartans are marching down the field. I'm going, wait a minute, what the heck? You know, so we might have a future Spartan in the Fowle household. I don't know. I mean, I was going to be a future Spartan, but my father put the kibosh on that. Yeah, you know, I'm sure we're going to try to join a game, but yeah, there's nothing bigger than being a parent. Obviously there was a lot of parents at the game yesterday, former Spartans, parents of current Spartans. And look, when we recap the game, I want to say this because it's really easy to be negative, of course. And there's some things I'm sure I'll say today that won't go over very well for Spartan fans. But I will say this. I think Brian Lewerke, that was a big game for him because I think what that proves is he's a guy that can march you down the field with big plays. Used his legs, and with an offensive line that is really depleted in a way with injuries again, he's going to have to really invent plays for the team, and he really did. I mean, with his legs, I thought that was the difference. I truly did. I thought the way he escaped from pressure, I thought the way he did zone reads, and everything was just on point. He had a couple, obviously, decisions where there was some near picks there. But, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, when you are – let's just be honest. I mean, he was so active. When you're constantly running and you have to constantly make throws, you know, you're going to make mistakes. But I just thought he was fantastic yesterday, Tyler. I mean, I thought he looked great. And I think the controversy.
Yeah, I mean, he is the guy. And, I mean, I don't think there ever really was the controversy, you know, once his arm healed up. But – I mean, that's the thing. It's like he didn't have his best game, really bad completion percentage. You know, he made some questionable decisions. But, look, Indiana's got a very underrated pass defense. They were 21st in the country going into the game. And Tom Allen's done a fantastic job with an Indiana defense, which has usually been a laughing stock of college football. And, I mean, sure. So it's a decent pass defense. And, I mean, you look at it, they did play Justin Fields the week before, but Ohio State was having too much success on the ground. Mm-hmm. They didn't really go that way. So that was probably part of the reason why, you know, they were still in the top 25. But
yeah.
He didn't have his best game, but I think it shows a lot about him that he was able to make some of the plays that he did at the end of the game just to solidify Michigan State's win. That rollout to his left, full sprint, didn't even really get his hips turned, and just chucked it, I don't know, 40 yards downfield. And Darryl Stewart made a great play on it as the leading receiver in the Big Ten. So he's
yeah.
obviously the guy. I mean, there's never a question about that. And Indiana had such a solid game plan to kind of slow down Elijah Collins. He broke off a couple, but, you know, this was on Lewerke the whole time. Indiana knew it was going to be on Lewerke the whole time. And he still made the plays necessary to win. You know, Michigan State put up 34 points in the game from an offensive perspective until a late defensive touchdown. So I think that I think he showed it was Indiana, but he also played very well against the good Northwestern. I'm not going to miss the team, the Northwestern defense. And I mean, he's the second best Big Ten.
No, I think it's really important for Michigan State's offense because that was such a problem last year. You know, you go back-to-back weeks and you score 30-plus points on offense, you got to be a little excited about it. And I'm sure in-house, which is really all that matters. I mean, we could all talk, and it doesn't matter what we say or what the media says. What matters is in-house, Michigan State offense.
Pat Fitzgerald will tell you that, too.
Yeah, Pat Fitzgerald. Oh, yeah, he'll definitely tell you. But, you know, wow, that was great last week. That was kind of funny. But, you know, what did he say again? No, there's 400 coaches on Twitter, but I don't care.
Yeah, email me at hashtag I don't care or something along those lines. There wasn't even a .com or .net at the end of it, so I don't know how solid that email address was, but... Yeah, I mean, look, the coaches can only worry about what they can worry about, and the last thing they need to worry about is media pressure, because certain things, and I mean, I've talked about what I thought the media pressure for Harbaugh was like, and I felt that it was massively overblown and over the past week.
No,
and
it's not.
So I think that
he deserves it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he is who he thought he was as far as that goes, and he lost a game that he was supposed to lose. I don't see what the big deal is in that aspect. But then that's when fans start losing their mind. Now, obviously, you can go back and you can look at the last couple of years like, oh, you know, he really hasn't really beat the top 10 team. That Wisconsin team that he did beat, the top 10 team, was really overrated. So,
yeah,
I mean
let's just say this.
If he starts thinking about that, like, it's just a lot more pressure when, you know, you talk about the defensive line. And, I mean, I've talked on the live videos of, you know, their issues with gap assignment. Like, that's the type of stuff that he needs to fix. And he can't fix what the media is going to say about him unless he fixes what's in-house first. And, I mean, that's ultimately what Michigan State did. You know, they went in, they got Salem. People thought they were, what was the phrase that everyone used? Reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. And, you know, he went out and he made the move that he thought was right. And, look, it paid off. So, you know, the one game that people really have a problem with is Arizona State, and that's just because they didn't score in the red zone. They still had over 400 yards. This offense is a legitimate offense right now.
Yeah, I think going back to what we were just talking about when we talk about media and coaches, one thing I think people need to understand is, first off, you got to watch the games and understand what's going on. Like, when you look at Michigan State, and you watch what's going on, you can see where the issues are, and you can see where the strengths are. The strengths are Ryan Lewerke's playing very, very good. Darryl Stewart is a very good receiver. Cody White's a good receiver. Their tight ends are playing outstanding. And, you know, besides that, I don't want to. Yeah, you know, but the other kid, you know, it's not ringing a bell because there's so many guys you got to try to stay focused on. I think it's 88. He played really well. He's a new guy. Tyler, you know him probably. Siebert and him
Gillis
played well, man.
Who was redshirt last year, and he's got the build of a stud tight end in the future for Michigan State.
Yeah, it's like Devin Funches. Built like Devin Funches. He's built like a Funches or a Eubanks.
Whether or not that like equates to, you know, his ability to actually take off is one thing, but look, I've been excited for this kid since I saw him play a little bit last year. I think he played against Michigan a little bit. Only played a couple games though, so he was able to redshirt, but he is every bit of the monster that he looks like on the field, and we'll see if he can put it all together at some point. But look, right now Matt Saber is a good tight end. Dodson has been really hit or miss. Like, I think he's been kind of unfairly judged so far. But if you're a pass-catching tight end, you got to catch the passes, you know. I mean, we're Detroit Lions fans.
Yeah.
We saw that with Eric Ebron, pass-catching tight end who couldn't catch passes. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, he played great when he left.
A little bit.
Yeah, he played great when he left. We're going
to
need some tight end play today.
To put it together a little bit, so.
Yeah. No, I think Michigan State's offense looked fantastic yesterday. This is back-to-back weeks. But just to go back on to what I wanted to touch on, this media and this hype and this coaching and the fans. Look, it's a big part of the game, man. Like it or not, it's just a different time we live in. I mean, these kids are on Twitter. There's a lot of attention behind college football. And, hey, man, you better get on board or get off the train. If you don't like the criticism, you don't like the talk, I mean, well, what do we have here? This is an important thing to a lot of people. People spend money to go to these games. People, you know, like I want to say this about Pat Fitzgerald. I think it was funny what he said about the Twitter thing, but he made a statement about, you know, all the cell phones and, you know, that's why fans don't show up. Look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. When these coaches make millions of dollars and they're racking in cash and they get bonuses for just winning stupid bowl games, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I expect you to play pretty well. You know, you're making a lot of money, and if I'm going to donate money and pay, for, you know, $100 for parking and $200 for a ticket, I mean, that's just, you know, you got guys like Tyler, you know, a season ticket holder, that costs a lot of money to go to these games, and there's a lot of people like him, there's a lot of people that go to every game, and I'm telling you, man, it's okay if there's a little bit of feedback that isn't always sunshine and rainbows. I get kind of tired of these coaches, you know, always having something to complain about, because it's like, come on, you know, this is ridiculous.
And that's okay. I mean, look, if teams play bad, they play bad. If teams play good, you know, people still want to point out the negative. And I think that that's part of the thing that people really, I think that's part of the thing that the coaches really get irked by, is you sit there and you have people that don't know what's going on inside the program. And, you know, if Michigan State plays well, and they get a win like they did against Northwestern, you still have a couple of guys. I know you and I are mutual friends with a few that will still rag on Lewerke for the game that he had just because he started a little slower because Northwestern, you know, came in with a good game plan and MSU adjusted. So I think that it's a I think in some cases, you know, the negative attention is warranted. And I think in other cases, it's not. And, I mean, I think the Arizona State game, people are still bagging on the offense. And it's like, you know, it's a special situation. You're playing a type of defense that you don't normally see. And you're still trying to put your pieces together. Like I said, I talked about before the offseason or during the offseason with you. Look, Michigan's going to have a little more of an adjustment period because they're bringing in somebody who, you know, doesn't know everyone's strengths and weaknesses like someone in-house would have, and Michigan's still going to have an adjustment period because their offensive coordinator hasn't called a play in over 5 years. So I think that's what that Arizona State game was. I think that's a little bit what Tulsa was. And
sure.
Ultimately, they've picked it up since then. So,
well, I think yesterday what I seen with the Michigan game, and you know, I know that it was probably a little overblown, you know, like many things are out there. But I do think that the move to put Gattis on the field was actually a very good move. I think you have a young guy like him that is talking to players, and it's in an emotional, enthusiastic younger coach. It looked different. I thought Jim Harbaugh actually had some sort of life to him, which was surprising because it hasn't happened in a few years. And it looked like there was a different energy about him. Now, again, I know what everyone's going to say. Yes, it was Rutgers. But in the end, they played better. I guess that matters. Will it matter fully? I don't know. The expectations are so high at that school where if you really want to talk about negative feedback, I mean, this guy's got a lot of it. I mean, it's constant with Michigan. If you don't win the Big Ten, it's a bad year. Where I know you're not going to like this, Tyler, but here's the deal with Michigan State and Michigan. Here's the difference. Michigan fans are unrealistic and they're a little over the top with the expectations, where Michigan State probably should have higher expectations. And I think that that's the problem. I think Mark D'Antonio, when you look at what he's done at Michigan State, he's been very successful. He inherited a program that was terrible. And if you look at all the things he's done, if you really looked at it fully, you could say he's a pretty good coach. If you looked at it and he coached at somewhere different than Michigan State that expected more, he probably wouldn't have lasted as long as he did, because it's just not about always winning and always being great for Michigan State football. I hate to say it, but look, when you win 10 games at Michigan State, it's a big deal. When you win 10 games and lose to Ohio State, you should be fired if you're Michigan. That's the narrative that it is in this state. And I think you're absolutely right. When Michigan State plays well, the fans act like Lions fans, where, hey, they just won. They beat the crap on Northwestern. What are you talking bad about? Like, Lions fans are still sitting here saying, oh, you know, we played so – the Chargers stink or this and that. The Eagles are just hurt. Hey, that Eagles win certainly looks better now, doesn't it? I mean, give me a break. I think it –
well,
know,
yeah,
I've
that,
that
kind of helps. I think we'll see about Detroit in a couple hours or so.
Yeah. This show is not a Lions show, by the way. We just like to add in a little bit of that. But I just think,
I
look, man. Yes, he's pretty good. Pretty good quarterback. I just think, look, it's you got a lot of people in media who, number one, are fans of teams. So they don't like when Michigan wins. I get it. I understand that people hate Michigan. They don't like their hype. But let's just be honest. If I was to be 100% about this whole thing, Jim Harbaugh's done a good job. Do I like the things he does? No. But he's done a good job. He really has. And I just think because he coaches there, it's a problem when you don't beat Ohio State, and it should be. It should be a problem. You know, John Cooper dealt with it at Ohio State. Jim Harbaugh should deal with it at Michigan. You got to beat Ohio State. You got to win the Big Ten East. If you don't, doesn't look good. But at this point, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you got to look at what the teams have, and I'm going to get into this in a second. Michigan and Michigan State are so similar this year, it's scary as far as what we should expect. These are two teams that are good with the potential to be great. But really, it's week by week, Tyler. I mean, it is week by week with both teams. That's pretty much the title of the show. I just don't know what to expect, man. I made a statement that I thought Michigan State has a really good shot to win this East after yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I don't know. But let's talk about, you know, let's just recap the game. I know you don't want to get into too much future. I mean, what did you see on defense that was troubling and also what you saw that was positive?
Well, I mean, I think the positivity is obvious. It is what it's been all year. It's been the defensive line. You know, I think that's the most – look, straight up, I've said that I think they have the best defensive line in the country. I'll say they have the best interior on either side of the ball in the country with those guys. It's just absolutely fantastic. And Jack Camper still yet to suit up for Michigan State. And so they're spread a little thin at defensive end, but, you know, Kenny Wilkes and Jacob Honachuk are good enough to hold down the four. And then Drew Beasley's come along really well. But I think that that is a positive. The linebackers have had issues closing out on those bubble screens. And it's really weird because that was something that, you know, Narduzzi obviously had a problem with it. you know, as much as people talk up Narduzzi, he had a problem with it. Harlan Barnett had an issue with it. And you turn around and then Trestle, for two seasons, you know, even last year, those bubble creams were not working on Michigan State. And they weren't working, you know, and Michigan State went 10-3. Like, you know,
yeah.
I figured the Trestle solved the issue. And then you turn around and, I mean, obviously you're going to get a high completion percentage no matter what when you throw those types of passes. But then you turn around and Penix completes 20 in a row against 20 in a row, all bubble screens.
He's a good quarterback, too.
Oh, absolutely.
He's
a superstar.
Very, very good.
Yeah,
yeah,
but he completes 20 in a row, and Michigan State just had issues with it. And that was all Indiana seemed to be running, and Michigan State had no answer. And so I don't know what changed from, you know, the last two seasons to this season in regards to how Michigan State covers those. But, I mean, that's the negative, because when you look at the teams that run those screens a lot, those are the guys that you're competing with for the Big Ten East. You know, you're competing with Ohio State and Penn State in that regard. And so that's a big negative. That's something that needs to get worked out. I think the
Michigan, too. Michigan will do the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan
and
Penn State will do the same stuff.
The deep receiver stuff, yeah. But Ohio State, obviously, the first one that comes to mind, given the fact that we play them next. It's just something that I think needs to be adjusted. I think Michigan State has good corners. I think Josiah Scott is good. He's not as great as we were hoping. And Josh Butler's been very underrated this season. And, I mean, part of what concerns me is yesterday we saw a lot of Kayvon Gervin, which means Shakir Brown is not healthy. There's some sort of an issue with Josh Butler, and I think that's going to, you know, that's obviously going to hurt Michigan State pending the availability of both Butler and Brown against OSU and moving forward. So that's the negative, is the coverage of the screen passes. I think overall the defense is really, really good. You know, you're going to sit there and you're going to take your chances passing the ball because you can't run the ball on Michigan State. And so, yeah, you're going to throw it a lot. So, yeah, those numbers are going to be a little inflated.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You not first. I think when Indiana was successful was when they did dink and dunk around, and then all of a sudden they did get a couple quick hitting runs with the running back who Stevie Scott's a good back too. I mean, this isn't
a
very good back. So you know what I noticed, and this is Michigan State's defense, besides a couple guys, obviously, is very similar to Michigan's last year, where they're incredibly physical up front, and the linebackers fly to the ball. Secondary, we learned that Michigan had some issues with guys like Brandon Watson. And when you play in this conference, I mean, these coaches are so familiar with each other after a while. You kind of know what the tendency of a program is. You know, Ohio State knew exactly what they could attack on Don Brown. Why? Because the week before, Indiana attacked it a certain way. And I think Ohio State said, ooh, we got something here. And that's the problem that Michigan State on defense has, is very similar to what Don Brown of Michigan did last year, is you've really got to find a way to take away, like you said, those short passes. Not much crossing route action happens against Michigan State because I think the backers do a good job, and plus the pressure gets there quick. But the deep ball is still a problem. The deep ball with bigger receivers, and you're going to look at a few teams that provide that challenge with good receivers, and really it's coming up the next 3 weeks.
Let me make one quick comment on that. I think the problem with the deep ball became an issue because you couldn't run any pressure because Indiana was dinking and dunking, and so you had everybody kind of playing it a little bit safer. And I think that's something that you know, Michigan State's going to take a couple more chances because, you know, you don't, as good as Stevie Scott is, I mean, we talked about it, he's a good back, really slippery back. He's no J.K. Dobbins, and you got to get in and you need to stop him. And so Michigan State's going to load things up a little bit more, and I think that will allow them to combine a couple pressures as long as OSU doesn't spread them out.
Well, that's going to be the problem. You know, I mean, the problem when you play Ohio State is when you bring the pressure against Ohio State is they have crossing routes that really work, and now your linebackers, if at all, are stepping too forward. Now they're throwing it over the backers, and it's off to the races. Ohio State has a little bit of both, and plus they have a very good offensive line. That makes them that much tougher. But the Indiana game, just to recap it, Indiana, they know how to lose it. I mean, I'm laughing here as I'm talking to multiple friends, and you know I'm talking to you and another one of our friends on a group chat. And boy, Tom Allen, if there's a coach that you shouldn't want to emulate as far as getting too excited too quickly, he's got to be the guy. I've never seen a coach get so pumped up in the second quarter of a game, third quarter of a game. And he just seems to find a way. His teams always find a way to not get it done. But that game was very close, and there was a couple plays in that game. If it goes Indiana's way, ooh, that's a loss. If it, and there's a couple plays if it goes Michigan State's way, it's probably a bigger victory. But
blowout.
You know,
the Ant Williams drop with nobody in front of them. Like, Bewerke could have touched that one and took it to the house. If I executed the fake well enough, I probably could have tucked it and ran to the house because it looked like everybody was on the opposite hash. Like that's how open it was. And it
my 2-year-old son would have high stepped in. I mean, with his toe tapping and toe running, he does.
Oh,
he would have toe tapped in
the
end.
Deion Sanders just with the high step. And so, like if that happens, you know, Michigan State's all of a sudden, you know, putting their foot on the throat of Indiana. And, you know, like I said, Tom Allen's a really good coach, but they just can't get it done. I don't think it's a coaching issue. You know, he's always got his teams really well prepared. I think it's more of a
I think it
talent.
I think it is a coaching issue.
I think it's a talent issue.
I think that there's
if he had half the talent that Michigan has, because he sits there and he gives OSU trouble, he'll give Michigan State trouble, he'll give Michigan trouble. If he had half the talent that Michigan has or that Michigan State has, top to bottom, look, I think Indiana's a player all of a sudden. But the problem is, it's still Indiana, so he doesn't get that talent. But I think Tom Allen.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I'll take Wop Fillier. I'll take Wop Fillier on our team if he wants to come over. He can come over and hail. Donovan Hale, you want a spot? Come on over. I think Tom Allen, I disagree. I think he's a terrible coach. I think the problem with him is he does all the things. You know, I wouldn't say terrible. That's kind of mean. But I think he is not a winning coach. And the reason why is that emotion that will always get you ready to play, but there's got to be some poise too. And after a while, you got to settle guys down and realize what you have. And you know, you could say what you want. I think Indiana's done a great job at recruiting. I mean, they got a quarterback like Penix, who's really good. You've got great receivers. Your offensive line does a pretty good job. You got a really good running back. There's no excuse for Indiana anymore. I mean, you got to find a way to win those games. Terrible turnover penalties, you know, lackluster defensive decisions by Indiana at the end there. I mean, they pretty much man on man with Darryl Stewart. Should have known that was a bad idea.
Terrible
considering
decision.
How the game went. Yeah, and I mean, anybody could have made. I mean, that was not even a good pass by Lewerke. But when you got Darryl Stewart on a little corner, that's gonna work. So, yeah, Tom Allen doesn't get my pass at all. I thought he did a fantastic job of getting these guys ready to play and a good game plan. But defensively, they fell off. But I think you could tell he was a little ticked off at the coordinator all game, too. So maybe it's a defensive coordinator issue. I mean, this guy is younger than us. So maybe he made a couple boneheaded decisions. But Indiana's got talent, man. That's a scary team. They've given Michigan problems the last few years. I mean, Michigan's had overtime wins against them. Last year, Indiana gave them all they can handle. Before that, a couple years ago, even in 2016, when Michigan was very good, I mean, Indiana was giving us all sorts of problems. I think that was with a different coach, though. But, they get players now. I mean, it's not a bad program. But I think, Michigan State, you know, to recap, they did a good job on offense. They got the job done, and all that matters in the end is wins. And if people haven't watched Michigan State over the years, let me remind them, this team does this. I mean, this program finds a way to win.
Something that I said in week one is it's a new system on offense, but it's the same guy is still in charge of everybody. And so it's a new system, same philosophy.
Yeah. But it's a new system in a way, but it's, yeah, like you said, same guys. Michigan State, to me, in my opinion, because we're not going to look too far ahead. We got a long season. If they can change this, though, I'll just say this. If they can find a way to limit the deep ball to where even though they might give a little bit of the dink and dunk, which they need to get a little better at, obviously, what worries me is the deep ball, because when you play against Ohio State, Penn State, who has that deep threat capability, Michigan, that's where I worry for Michigan State. Is even though they need to do a better job of the bubble screens and stuff like that, that I can kind of live with, but what I can't live with is corners getting ran by, because that was DPJ last year. That was the big play. That was the play that took Michigan over the top. Yeah. I can't deal with corner man-on-man coverage and Indiana just lobbing it up there and it's an easy touchdown. Can't have that. Can't have breakdowns in the secondary where guys just get ran by. And it happened, but it really happened consistently yesterday. More so, obviously, the bubble screens and the short passes. So that can be improved. I see that being changed right away. What I want to see, though, is definitely doing a better job of the deep ball, because next week you're going to get it. You are going to get it next week. And if they can show signs of improvement in that, Tyler, I think that I'm thinking of trending up now, because that's the new thing now, right? You know, XYZ is trending up. This team's trending down. That's how I'm going to do Michigan State and Michigan this year. I think it's a good thing to do. Right now, flatline. I'm going to flatline with Michigan State because the offense played great, but the defense didn't. So I'm not going to go trending up or down. Is Michigan trending up or down? No, I'm going to stay in a flat line because they played Rutgers. But we're going to do that. I think this is a good thing to add to the show. Like, are they trending up? Are they trending down? Because with both teams, man, I just don't know. I mean, every week's different. And this week coming up is going to be great. I can't wait to talk about it. But it was a big win still for Michigan State. You never want to lose on homecoming. I mean, that would have been terrible. And so it's a big win. Hey, Michigan beat a bad opponent. And then we move on. But would you agree, though? I mean, that just has to be the way you handle this season, is week by week. Let's see what happens. I don't think Tyler is on with me at this point. I think he just got off. Yep. So he just got off. So I asked him that question. I mean, where are we going to be at with this thing as far as week by week? You know, I think week by week it's a trending up, trending down scenario for Michigan and Michigan State football. And, you know, hopefully we can get Tyler so we can end this segment on that. So, yeah, I'm going to stay flatline, though, with Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, I don't think there's anything that tells me why I should be overly excited for either team. And, you know, we'll just kind of see what happens. I mean, we will. We'll find out more and more. Next week's big. Next week's big for both teams. I mean, Michigan State and Ohio State, night game. That's why you go to Michigan State to have this opportunity to play in a big environment like Columbus, Ohio. Place is going to be rocking, and Ohio State's just rolling right now. I mean, they are rolling, so it is going to be a very difficult game, to say the least. So we'll prep more this week about the Michigan State-Ohio State game. Michigan's got their homecoming this week as they take on Iowa. Looking forward to that game. I think that's a big one. That's a big one for Michigan. I think that would provide a lot of confidence with a win at home against Iowa. They got to do it. Got to find a way to do it. They've got the players. They've got the talent. You just got to go out there and win. And that's going to be a tough one, though. That's a Big Ten West contender. And Michigan's schedule is brutal this year, guys. I mean, Iowa at home, at Penn State, Notre Dame comes into town, Michigan State at home, Ohio State on the, you know, at home. So at least there's some home games there. But, boy, they got some tough opponents coming up. And you got to get better week by week. You got to get better on the defensive line. You got to get better at linebacker. You can't have turnovers anymore. Those days got to be done if you're Michigan. every week get better, and then maybe we're talking at the end of the year, they got a shot to win the big game and actually earn something, maybe. But it's going to take a long time, week by week. And we'll talk about those trends week by week here on Trouble with Snap Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Give us your feedback. If you want some new topics on the show, hey, let us know. You can follow our Facebook page, Trouble with the Snap Podcast. We've got some good amount of comments on there, a lot of Sparty Nation on there. We're going to try to get some new people on the show this year. We've had Greg Jones, Mateen Cleaves, just to name two guys. Anthony Iani, I want to give him a shout-out. Nigeia Carter we've had on the show. Todd Anderson, a former Michigan State Spartan. So we've had some big-time names on the show. Hey, thanks for tuning in, guys. Again, this is Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Give us your feedback, like, comment, and we'll be on shortly to prep for this week's games.